1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to be looking tonight at verses 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. This morning began a four-part series of messages on spiritual fitness training. And in the first part, we looked at the importance of preparation. We talked about the need for getting a passion for God and a passion to read the Word and spend time in the Word of God. And that is where we need to begin with our spiritual fitness training. But tonight we're going to take it a step further. And we're going to see that the importance of self-control and in our spiritual training. And as we look at the text here tonight, the Apostle Paul, he often used illustrations from athletics. And remember, he was in Greece, he was in Rome, he was in these places. Greece especially was a place where the Olympics began. All right? And so he was familiar with these athletic events, and the terms that he used here are from those athletic events. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." When I was in Bible college, during my second year, our Bible college had athletics that we would compete with other schools and things like that as well. And we had a wrestling team. And I had never wrestled before in my life, but I liked wrestling with my brother and I liked wrestling with my dad. So I thought, well, I'm going to try out for wrestling. And our coach his name was Ben Peterson. Ben Peterson is a Christian who won gold and silver medals in the World Olympics in wrestling. He knew what he was doing. And he was my coach. Great big guy. He had a neck that was almost as big as my shoulders. Man, his neck was massive because it was so strong from all of his wrestling things. And he was our coach. And practice, I'll be honest with you, practice wasn't much fun. It was hard work, sweat, and smell, and you're just getting down there and getting your arms, you know, and you're grabbing on some other sweaty, slimy guy and trying to wrestle him around. You got your arm stuck in his armpit, and your nose stuck in his armpit, and you just think, oh, what am I doing this for? You know, it wasn't much fun. But, you know, the worst part of wrestling wasn't the wrestling practice. It wasn't the fact that I got beat up every day because I didn't know what I was doing, and everybody else knew what they were doing, and I was their guinea pig, and they just take it out on me. That wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part of it was that coach said, if you want to wrestle, you've got to get down to, I forget what he said, 148 pounds or something like that. And I weighed like 160. And I wasn't fat, about like I am now, but he said, you got to lose weight. You got to lose about 10 or 15 pounds. I forget exactly how much it was. And I thought, how am I going to do that? You know, because you have to be, when you go to wrestling, the first thing the guys do when they go into a wrestling match is they got to get on the scales. And the officials take a look at it. Nope, you're half a pound over. No wrestling today. You had to be underweight every time because you were wrestling in a weight class. And so coach said, all right, you got to lose weight. I thought, lose weight? I can't lose weight. I've never lost weight. But coach said, if you want to wrestle, you got to lose weight. So I had to use self-control when it came to the dining hall. I'd go in there, all this nice food. I said, no potatoes, no bread, no starch, no cookies, no dessert, no soft drinks. Nothing. Man, what am I going to eat? I'm going to starve to death. And I got skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. And I got down my weight, but I was starving. You know, at least I thought I was. And, you know, it was hard work. It took self-control. And that's what we're going to be talking about here tonight, is self-control. And the importance of self-control, not just in physical training, but also in our spiritual lives. Self-control. Here in this text, did you notice there in verse number 25, it said that every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word temperate is the word translated from that also means self-control. It literally means to exercise self-restraint or self-control. It's the root of this word, means to have power over or dominance over. So here it is, he's saying you need to have power or dominance over your desires, over what you want to do. You've got to be the king over the things you want to do instead of letting your body do what it wants to do. So as we look at this here tonight, the first thing I want us to notice is that self-control is preventing harmful choices. Self-control is preventing harmful choices. And so as we define the word as self-restraint, it's the exercise of restraining ourselves. It is preventing our body from doing what it wants to do when God says that we're going to do something different. Now, that's not always bad things that God tells us that we need to be self-controlled over. And we're going to see that as we work our way through here tonight. Sometimes we need to be self-controlled over perfectly good things that are taking up our time. Nothing wrong with them, but they're eating up our time, and we should be using our time for something more valuable. And so that's also part of self-control. But we'll see that in just a moment. Here are some things. Here's something that God is teaching me, and that is, and I mentioned it this morning, that self-control is not expecting God to zap me with supernatural strength to be able to say no. You know, and I had this foggy idea in my mind for a long time that, you know, if I'm going to get victory over something, or if I'm going to be, you know, if I'm going to control my anger, or if I'm going to do right in some area, God, you just got to give me, you know, some sort of supernatural zap to be able to help me to do right. And God used these verses to help me to see, listen, it isn't a supernatural zap. It is just coming to the place where I say, no, I'm not going to do that. It is self-control. It is saying, I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got to master my body. I've got to overpower my desires. I've got to rule my desires. And every one of us has to do that. You know, it doesn't matter what it is we're dealing with. Maybe you children are having trouble with arguing or fighting or being mean. What you're going to have to do is you're going to say, God, help me to overrule. Help me to overpower my desire to be mean. Help me to overpower my desire to do what I know isn't right. And I have to have self-control. I've got to do right even when everyone else is doing wrong. I've got to be willing to do right. Sometimes it means sacrificing something that is good to do something that is better. That is putting our priorities right. Where we say, I want to do this, there's nothing wrong with doing that, but I haven't spent time with God today. Or I haven't, you know, done something I'm supposed to do. I need to do the first thing first. So we need to have our priorities right. That's all part of self-control. It's staying calm when our spouse upsets us. It's being kind when our brother or sister is mean to us. It is self-control. It's when we are overpowering the desires of our flesh. That is self-control. And so we need that self-control. Character is related to all this. Character is doing right even when I don't feel like it. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Character is doing right when I don't feel like it. You know, if somebody came to you tonight and said, I want you to go down and scrub the toilets clean. It's like, I don't like that job. That's a lousy job. That's a smelly job. That's a yucky job. I don't want to do that. I'm dignified. I don't want to do that. And I won't do it. All right? Character is doing what we're told to do even when we don't like to do it. You children, that's something very important for you to learn. Character is when mom or dad say, this is what I want you to do, instead of saying, I don't want to do that, I always do that, I don't like that, and complaining, we need to just do what we're supposed to do without complaining, self-control. And self-control, remember, is the restraint that is needed for character. If we're going to have good character, if we're going to do what is right, even when we don't want to do it, we're going to have self-control. We're going to have to restrain. We're going to have to overpower our desires. So when my desire is to do something that is interfering with what I'm supposed to do, I've got to overpower that. You know, there's always temptations from every side that come in to get us in this area. And again, sometimes it's perfectly good things, but they're getting in the way of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm wasting my time. You know, we see a lot of this in the workplace. And even in our, you know, I battle with this myself in my study. I've got to be very disciplined and self-controlled to sit there and study and do my work instead of looking up this information or examining this or reading this book or drifting off on this. We've got to stay focused. See, self-control deals with focus on what is the important thing to do in life. So if we're going to be spiritually strong and we're going to be spiritually fit, we've got to have self-control. Now, self-control is not popular. It really isn't. You look around in our world. The world says if it feels good, do it. There's no right and wrong. Whatever you want to do is fine. Everything's relative. Do whatever you desire to do. That is the opposite of self-control. The world just says, if you feel like it, do it. So that somebody doesn't like it, too bad. You can do what you want to do. That is just being whatever you want to be. That's not self-control. That's just out of control. And so the opposite of that, so we have the world's philosophy around us telling it, no, don't be self-controlled, do whatever you want to do. Then our flesh also doesn't like self-control either. The flesh wants to eat what tastes good instead of what we know deep down inside is unhealthy. You know, you are tempted with something that you know deep down inside isn't good for you, but I really like that, I'll do it anyway. No self-control. Self-control is when we control our desires. It's when you're looking on the internet or you're looking through a magazine and all of a sudden you see a picture that's not what it ought to be. Self-control is saying, no, that's not what I ought to be looking at. And I'll look at something different. But our flesh says, nah, go ahead, it won't hurt anything. See? We got to have self-control. Self-control is dressing modestly when we live in a world that is their fashions are so immodest. And it takes self-control. Self-control is needed when our flesh wants to do what we know God doesn't want us to do. When God wants us to share, our flesh wants to be selfish. We need self-control. It says, no, I'm going to do what I have to do. Self-control. So self-control, I want you to see the distinction between what we're going to be looking at today and what we're going to look at next Sunday morning. Self-control is different than discipline. Discipline will be doing the positive thing. I'm going to do what I need to do. Self-control is I'm going to control myself so I don't do what will hinder what I'm supposed to do. So the self-control is keeping myself back from things that I want to do that may hurt me in my spiritual walk. So I'm not going to do certain things because they're going to hurt me spiritually. Daniel had that in his mind in Daniel 1:8 when he said that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He said, I'm not going to do that because I know that will hurt me spiritually. I won't do that. So that was self-control. And that is what we're talking about. A failure, though, to rule over our spirit will set us up for great spiritual danger. Mark this verse down. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs 25, 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. In those days, when the enemy would come in and attack a city, if you had no walls and no strong gates on those walls, the enemy could just march in, wipe you out, that was the end of you, and they'd take over the city. But the strong walls were very important because the enemy would come and they'd stand around there, march around the walls. If they really, really wanted in badly, they would try finding ways of building ramps over the walls or getting a battering ram, try to ram through the door. But the walls were there to protect you. And so it is. God says here that our spirit, that when we have control over our spirit, it's like a wall around us to protect us. But he that has no rule over his own spirit, it's like a city that is broken down without walls. You got no protection over your spiritual well-being if you don't have the self-control, the rule over your spirit. So, the first thing we've seen here is that self-control is preventing harmful choices. Number two, self-control is a requirement. Notice again back in our verse number 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He says, every man, very important. We see that everyone who wants to win must be self-controlled. Now, this is true in athletes. No question about it. An athlete that wants to win must be self-controlled. They don't have any choice about the matter. If they want to win, every athlete will be working hard to win, will be temperate. There's no exceptions. He will always control himself. When he goes to eat, he'll say, I'm not eating that. That's going to slow me down. I'm not going to eat this. This will slow me down. This is something that I don't really like, but it's really good for me. It'll make me stronger. I'll eat that. He's got self-control over what he eats. He has self-control over where he goes and the things that he does. He will restrain himself. Why? Because he wants to win. He wants to win. And he will sacrifice. He will do what needs to be done in order to win. He's going to keep himself from things that will hurt him. And those who are unwilling to restrain themselves will never be winners. And that is true with us spiritually as well. Every Christian who wants to win God's prize must restrain himself. Paul was recognized that principle of self-control, and he talks about it here of how important it is for our spiritual fitness, just like it is for physical fitness. And if we're going to become spiritually fit and run to win God's prize, we must restrain our activities. There's just no other option. We must do that. We must say, there's certain things I can do, certain things I can't do. You know, you cannot do what careless Christians do and expect to be a winner in God's race. It won't work. It's easy to look around and say, but all these other Christians are doing it. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. You know, as I look around and I see a lot of the things that other Christians do, I think, oh, why are they doing that? And as I listen to preachers preach, and I listen to sermons from different preachers in different churches, I hear them preaching the same kinds of things. They're saying, come on, we need to do right because everybody's doing wrong. And even other Christians are doing wrong. And at one preacher I was listening to just this week, he was preaching on, I forget what the main topic was, but he was talking about being different from the world. And he said, my kids would come to me and say, but Dad, everybody's doing it. He said, I don't care what everybody's doing. We're not going to do it. Yeah, but Dad, the deacon's kids do that. He says, I don't care whether the deacon's kids do it or not. You're not going to do it. We don't do that in our house. We're going to be different. And there's going to be, it needs discipline to be able to do that. And there's this self-control. We cannot be like careless Christians if we're going to be a winner in God's race. It just won't happen. Now, to be a winner, one must be temperate in all things. Notice again our verse. He says, every man that strives for the mastery. Now, mastery there means to win. All right, if you're going to be a winner, to master something. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Every area of his life, he's temperate. The physical athlete, he's going to be temperate in what he eats. He's going to restrain what he does. He's going to restrain how late he stays up. He's going to restrain the things he does and where he goes and the things he would really like to do. Sometimes he's going to say, no, I'm not going to do that because I've got a higher goal. I want to win. I want to win. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to sacrifice to be able to win the prize. And as a Christian and runner in God's race, we must do the same. We must control what we allow into our hearts. Remember Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've got to control, keep our heart, guard it, protect it. Don't let things in. Don't let things in from television or music or the internet or magazines or things that are going to hurt us. We live in a wicked world, and everywhere we turn, there's things trying to get in. And it takes work. It takes discipline. You know, as men, you walk down through the stores, and listen, it takes discipline. Sometimes you get a blinders. You ever seen those pictures of in the olden days where they put these blinders on the horses? You know, they kind of put these side blinders on them so they wouldn't get distracted. They just walk straight. That's kind of what we need, especially as men. You go into these stores, and everywhere you turn, they use half-naked women to advertise everything they want to sell. And you look over here, You look, we're going to look. I got a lip on the floor. You know, I mean, sometimes you feel that way. But we've got to be careful. We've got to self-control. It's not easy. That's not easy. And you ladies need to make it easy for your husbands and your sons just to strengthen them and help them in that and to understand the situation. It's not easy for men. Ladies, you don't have that struggle. You have the opposite struggle. You got the struggle of making sure you wear enough clothes. The men have the struggle of guarding their eyes. And it is a struggle, a real struggle. So we need to guard what goes into our hearts. And then also, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we need to restrain our thoughts. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So Paul says those are the things we're supposed to think on. So we need to restrain the things that we think and not allow our thoughts to wander off. You know, the devil wants us to start thinking about that questionable thing. Oh, I shouldn't think about that. That wasn't very nice. And think about this. And the devil wants our mind to wander off on all these little paths. And God says, no, restrain it. Self-control. We need to control our thoughts. We need to also control our reactions. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Restrain our responses, our reactions. This is what I'm really working on, because I tend to be the type of a person that when I'm posed with a situation, I decide right now what to do, and I respond, and then later on I kick myself and say, why did I do that? I should have just slowed down, think about it. And some of you are blessed with a slow response, and that's a real blessing. But if you've got a fast response like mine, you're going to have to work like I do to just say, hang on, don't respond. Another 5 seconds isn't going to hurt anything. You know, just think about it a little bit first, and it'll be far better off. So we need to restrain our reactions. And then also, we need to control all that we do. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Remember those verses? Ones we've memorized. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Push it away. Not going to do that. It's one of the things I'm not going to do. If it's evil, it looks like evil. If it's questionable, I'm not going to do it. You know, we're far better off saying, I don't want to do anything that is questionable. I just want to have a clear conscience. I don't want to be around something that's questionable. And so we need to restrain ourselves. It reminds me of a story I heard from way back in the olden days, and of how there was a chariot rider, and I probably shared this with you before. Just flip those all off, Liz. There you go. A chariot rider. He was really good driver of his chariot. And they were up on the mountains and the cliffs along the edge of the mountains. And I remember when we were in Papua New Guinea, there was mountains like that that didn't have any side rails on them. You look over there, whoa, it was a long way down there. This chariot driver, a wealthy guy was hiring a new chariot driver. And so he says, all right, I got a test for you. We're going to go out for a ride. He says, I want to see how close you can get to that edge and keep me safe. And the first guy says, hey, I'm good. You watch. Get right over there. See, I can keep you safe. Next guy says, I'll give it a try. He tries. He says, yeah, I can get a little closer than that last guy. And the third guy says, listen, I don't want to get anywhere near the thing. I'm driving over here. I don't want to get near that edge. He stayed way away from it as far as he could. And the guy says, you got the job. All right? And that's what we need to do. Spiritually, we need to stay away from things that are questionable. You know, our flesh says, but it's not all that bad. It's okay. I don't look that bad. And it's a little worldly, but not too much. We just, you know, God says, no, stay away from it. We don't need to be that way. We can stay away from it, and God will bless us if we'll stay away from things that are questionable. And that's what we need to do. Now, sometimes we even need to prevent ourselves from doing good things. I mentioned that earlier. We need to have priorities. You know, you might want to read a good book, but you sit down to read your good book and you remember, I haven't read my Bible today. Close up the book, go get your Bible, and spend time with God first. You know, there's a temptation to just say, all right, well, let me see. Read 3 verses here. Yep, I read my Bible. Now I can go back to my book. No, God understands that. He's going to say, hey, wait a minute. You're just pulling it. You know, just fooling yourself. All right, we need to put God first. And there's nothing wrong with reading a good book. Maybe it's a hobby. You know, I enjoy doing hobby things. But I need to be very careful not to just go do hobbies when I've got responsibilities to do. I've got things to do. You know, if there's something broken in the house or something needs repaired or I got to help Mel with the meal or something of that nature, and I say, well, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go play my little hobby. That's not right. We need to be self-controlled and do what is right, even though there's nothing wrong with the other things. Another thing is, you know, we may say, well, but I want to do this, but we haven't spent quality time with our family. You know, I look back on times when our boys were young, and this is one of the areas where I didn't do a very good job. There were times that I needed to say, all right, what is really the priority? I need to spend quality time with each one of my boys every week. And yet, but I got this to do and I got that to do, and many times I didn't. And now I wish I would have. But we need to spend that quality time with them. And, you know, we may want to buy new clothes, and there's nothing wrong with new clothes, but if we haven't given to God our tithe yet, we need to restrain ourselves. It fits in every area of life, we need to say, what is the priority? What is the first thing I need to do in order to be able to be pleasing to God? Self-control, he says, is a requirement. It is not an option. It's a requirement. If we're going to win the race, we've got to be self-controlled. All right? Third thing. First of all, we said that self-control is preventing harmful choices. Secondly, self-control is a requirement. Number three, self-control will enable you to win a crown. It'll enable you to win a crown. That's what Paul was talking about here. Notice again in our verse. He says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He said, we want an incorruptible. Now the corruptible crown, the athletes that are out there, and they're running in the Olympics, or they're playing some sport in the Olympics, and they work and they train and they work and they train and they sweat and they starve themselves and they eat the right things and they can't go here and I can't go there and I can't stay up late at night. I gotta do this. I gotta keep myself fit. And they work 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 and they go to the Olympics and they win. They win a gold in the Olympics. And they won what they wanted, but it took rigid self-control to do that. They were temperate in what they did. They won the medal, but that gold medal is going to tarnish. And sure, you got a gold medal, but what good is it? I mean, it's not going to, you know, you can sell the thing, make a little bit out of it. But it's really not all that much. It's more of a pride thing. It's a cherished thing. There's glory to it. Even their glory fades away. You think about 10 years ago, who won the Olympics? Who knows and who cares? You know? Their glory's all faded. Oh, they'll go down in the history books and you can read back in the history book and say, yeah, 10 years ago these guys won. But it really doesn't matter. It's no big deal. It's all here today and gone tomorrow. Not only that, when they die, I'm going to leave it all behind. You know, there's not going to be one Olympic person, not even Ben Peterson, my friend, who has gold and silver Olympic medals for wrestling. When he dies, he's going to leave them all behind. They're going to take them with him. You can't take any of that with you. And so all that the athletes get is temperate, temporal. It is corruptible. It'll decay. But God says here that we're after an incorruptible crown. One that'll never decay. One that'll last forever. One that'll be there for all eternity. That is a wonderful thought. That every Christian can live a self-controlled life and win an incorruptible crown. You children can do that. Us adults can do that. We can earn an incorruptible crown. A crown from God that will never go away. It'll never fade. It'll never lose its value. It'll never lose its beauty. It'll never lose all that it's important for. It will be last forever. We'll receive it when we get to heaven, and it'll never corrupt. It may be, we don't know, it may be made out of a material. Maybe gold, maybe silver. But there's a good chance that the crowns in heaven will not be that. It may be just the praise of God. It may be a crown. To have God say, well done, the good and faithful servant. Whew, what a crown. What a crown. To hear from God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, to have Him tell us we did a good job. That would be awesome. But not only that, but we read in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10, it seems to indicate there that the Christians that have their crowns are going to cast them at the throne of Jesus Christ. And to be able to be there in heaven with the millions of other Christians, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to take place. But to be able to walk before the throne of the Lord and to take a crown off and cast it at His feet and say, thank You, Lord. It's Your crown, not mine. You helped me do it. You enabled me. You saved my soul. It really belongs to You, not to me. What an honor. What a blessing. What a joy that'll be. But how terrible it would be to be able to stand before Him and all everybody else is casting their crowns before Him and you stand there and say, sorry, Lord. I didn't get a crown. I have no crown. I have nothing to give You. I'm sorry. None of us want to do that. We don't want to do that. So the crowns in heaven are very important. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm not big on crowns and I don't really like the praise and honor and all that, so phooey on it. I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to worry about it. We will want it. We will want it because it'll be for the glory and honor of the Lord. To be able to lay our crowns at His feet and say, thank You, Lord, for all You did for me. I'm so glad I did a little bit of something for You and I can give You the praise and honor for what You gave me. That'll be worth it all. You know, we sing that song, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When you think about the hardships and the difficulties and the hardships of self-control to be able to become a spiritually strong Christian, it is tough. But it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. When we see Jesus and have Him say, well done. Well done. Enter into the glory. I've got a home prepared for you. I've got a crown for you. You are did a great job. Thank you for serving me. Thank you for honoring me. What a wonderful thing that'll be. It'll be worth it all. Folks, we need to work to strive to gain a crown from the Lord. We really do. And we should make this a desire. This morning, we talked about the need for a passion to become spiritually fit. Not just so we can strut around as Superman Christian. That's not the point at all. But that we might be able to truly be a strong, godly, separated, disciplined Christian that is living for God, for His glory and His honor, doing what He wants us to do, so that He will be able to then to say, well done. But in order to do that, it's going to take self-control. Self-control. And remember, the self-control is not the positive things we need to do. We're going to talk about that next time. That's the discipline part of it, where we need to do the right thing. But here is restraining ourselves so that we don't let things interfere, so that we don't let the sins of the world to interfere, so that we don't let the bad things hinder us. We keep ourselves from them. We do like Daniel did, when we purpose in our heart and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. I don't care if everybody else does it. I'm not going to do it, because I don't believe that's what God wants. I want to win the prize. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to strive. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to try my best with God's help to do what I need to do, and I will sacrifice anything and everything I have to in order to get that prize. That's what we need. And so my challenge with you tonight is to strive for that prize. If you want to be spiritually fit, it's going to be require that we be self-controlled. You know, we live among unsaved people that, for the most part, are typically overweight, lazy, time wasters, addicted to social media, addicted to porn, drunkards, immoral, foul-mouthed, abusive. And it's all because of sin and lack of self-control. And sadly, many professing Christians aren't much better. We don't want to be that way. That's not what God wants. We want our lives to be an example. We want to do what's right. We cannot think that suddenly God's going to just reach down and say, and we pray, God, make me a strong Christian. Boom, zap, you're a strong Christian. It's not going to happen that way. It takes discipline. It takes work. It takes self-control. And God says we're going to have to self-control ourselves. Control, restrain the things that we want to do. Restrain the wrong actions that we want to take. Restrain ourselves from the good things that are in the way. They're not the right priorities. Even though they're perfectly fine, there's nothing wrong with reading a good book, but if the reading a good book gets in the way of your time with God, then put the book away and spend time with God first. Priorities. So that God can be the one that is in the center and the focus, and we can say, I want to win the race. And so, I hope I've encouraged you and motivated you and inspired you to say, I want to win. I want to win for God. I want to win for His glory. And every one of us can work to that end. You children can work to that end. Us adults can work to that end. We need to strive to put God first, and it takes self-control. Next time we're going to be looking at discipline. And then following that, we're going to look at exercise. But right now, we've looked this morning at preparation. That need for a passion. That's where it all has to start, because it takes work. There's no question that this spiritual fitness is going to take work. If you don't have a passion to do it, you're going to quit. You know, how many times people make New Year's resolutions, say, yeah, this year I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and it lasts for 2 weeks, and then they go back to the way they always did it. We need a passion for it so that it won't die. And then tonight we need self-control. Self-control.